Luke 7, chapter 8, where we stopped last.
Luke 7, but chapter 8?
I mean, Luke 7, verse 8, excuse me.
I'll bet. Luke 7, 8.
For I am also a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. To my servant, do this, and he doeth it. We studied authority, but I put the words out of order, so we didn't study set. I am also a man set under authority. Set is a word that would be what we would say edified. It means to put in order. It's the Greek word tasso, T-A-S-S-O. And that's not the same word for edify, but it's the same concept. In the same way that just as when your body was created in the womb, one after another, the cells were set in order. And if any one of the cells would have considered itself, if you can conceive of a cell that has its own will and way, then there would be no body, there'd be no you, because you would have been miscarried. And once the body is fully formed, if a cell turns and considers itself, it's called cancer, because it takes, in any way, even learning is taking. To be set means to be abandoned, so that his way is the only life in you, the only self. It had to have filtered through all of the, and not filtered, that's the wrong word. It had to have destroyed all the inclinations of your way, my way. So set is the first, but you can't be under authority until you're set, you're placed. And the scriptures say that God has set the boundaries of our habitation, which is a humongous concept. I think, let's go there. It's Acts 17, I think. Yeah, this is Paul's Mars Hill speech. He's standing at Mars Hill as this sort of rest area on the way to the Parthenon. And when Paul was there, the Parthenon was perfect. It was just one of the most beautiful structures ever built. And it was dedicated, that's what it was, to the Virgin. So anyway, let's read this. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "You men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious." But it doesn't say that. The word superstition there is the word for religion. "In all things I perceive that you are too religious." Now, it doesn't matter whether you're an atheist or a Buddhist or an Episcopalian or a Catholic or a Muslim or a Hindu. As long as you have a philosophy, then you are too religious, because you have opinions that keep you out of the way, keep you from being set under authority. That's why the challenge is always to take your opinions to the edge of time and space itself and see if they can stand the test of truth. If they can't, they're not worth giving any importance to. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
You are too religious, for as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Now they're looking at this incredible edifice. It seems, even to see the ruins of it now, it seems that it would be impossible for the men to build the ruins of it even, not much less it's in its perfection.
So he's probably gesturing towards that temple.
Amen.
Right there in his parking lot.
And everybody that was on Mars Hill, well, it's either, this is the point of Mars Hill. You couldn't be on Mars Hill unless you were on the way to the Parthenon or coming down from the Parthenon. You understand? So each and every one of these people had to have been in either going to or coming from this mind-bending temple, and it was a temple to Virgo, the Virgin, who had produced a child without intercourse. Even in the Greek culture, and the Roman culture, and the Indian culture, and the Persian culture, and the Arab culture, and the Chinese culture, and the Mexican culture, every one of them has a virgin that they worship. That's why people that argue against Christianity say, well, this is, you know, this your idea of a virgin birth for Jesus Christ is simply they've just taken that from these other cultures. No, the other cultures took it from the meaning of the stars, the original meaning of the Maseroth. And just as the Bible has been denigrated so that there's nothing but worldwide apostasy, so have the circle of the stars, the Maseroth, been degraded. So it's now astrology. But the point of it is, God that, in verse 24, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel or receive after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of you or every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain men also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. And he's quoting a poem by Aratus. And this poem by Aratus is extant. You can look it up. And it's a poem to each of the 12 signs and the 36 decans of each of the 12. And as you're going through this whole circle, Paul is quoting from the portion of Aratus' poem that is centered on Virgo, because there's the Parthenon is to the Virgin. I mean, this is mind-bending. But the point is, he has set everything in order. But you cannot be set under authority until you have totally emptied yourself of all ideas, opinions, value systems, so that there's no part of you that's conformed to this world or the age that you're in. There's no good opinion. Or there are no good opinions. Amen? Everybody see this? All right, back to Luke. Now in verse 9, we finally get to 9. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. The words that follow just means his disciples and the others who were following him. And found, this means that Christ was probably from the moment, maybe even before, he was looking and seeing if he found any man of faith. Because the word is specific. It's akoluthio, it's haisko, which means to find after searching for. Now again, this is the only place in the scriptures where Christ marveled after a man, or after the faith of the man. And this was a Roman, the second most hated of all the people in Israel. First most hated were the Samaritans. All right. So great, it's either of, it's tosoulos, or tosuto, excuse me. And it's a great of quantity. Whether it's of quantity great or time so long. Let's look at a couple of those. Go to John 14. This is where it's used as a great amount of time. It's with chronos. So Jesus, in verse 9, says, Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? Etc. Because just before Philip said, or Thomas, wait a minute.
What verse were you?
Starting in verse 8, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth. And Jesus saith unto him, Have I not been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me? He that has seen me has seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? One more, Hebrews 4. I really have a ratty Bible. This is Paul's exhortation. Let's just start in verse 3. For we which have believed to enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place on the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works, and in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. And again he saith in a certain day, saying in David, Today, after so long a time, as it is said, Today, if you will hear his voice, enter not, harden not your hearts. Now, it's this he's the word tousoutos, it's not just describing either a great time or a great number of people. If it's amount of time, it's with a feeling of frustration. So after so long a time, today will you enter into the rest. And he saith to Philip, I've been with you so long, you still not know that if you see me, you see the Father. Okay.
So the idea is Jesus has searched this alone for somebody in faith.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, back to Luke 7. Verse now. Verse 10. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. This is the centurion's servant who was healed by the word of Jesus when he was not there. Servant is, again, this word doulos, bondservant. Whole is an interesting word. It's hygienial, where we get our word hygiene, obviously. But it means a good health, but it also means doctrine free from error, which is critical. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 8. Well, let's start. Let's go up. Verse 5. Now, the end of the commandment is charity, or agape, out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whether of they affirm. We know that the law, or Torah, is good, if a man use it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for the sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, and for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men-stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. That's hygienia, didache. Sound doctrine. That's been my main concern. For all the year, all these incredible number of years, for this very small group of people, especially the teachers, that there be sound doctrine.
Yeah, I was thinking the soundness, it's like if there's any extra stuff that's not sound, or thinking in terms of like wellness, you know, it's like,
oh, no,
or if there's anything missing, that's not good. It's like everything has to be in its set in its order like you're talking about.
Let's go to 2 Timothy now and see another one. This one's a little rougher. Chapter 4. This one I got great comfort from. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the quick or living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. You understand what that means? Be instant in season and out of season. And this isn't just talking to teachers. Anyway, preach the word, be instant. It means no matter how you feel, no matter what circumstances. Doesn't mean you invent circumstances. It means you, as you go through your life, as you go into the world, make disciples. You can't, and you, because you don't, you don't preach because you're going to make disciples. You don't preach. What happens is, I promise you, if anybody wants to be a teacher, they shouldn't be. And we've seen evidence of that. Because if you believe, you will speak. if you speak, some will hear. And therefore, if they hear, then you're making disciples. It's a what is, not a what should be. And so it's only a should be if you don't believe what the word says. I can't tell you how many leaders, of so-called leaders of the faith that I've interviewed over the years, back when I had talk shows on radio and television, that just from their words and the questions I asked, it was obvious I didn't know what they believed. But the fact that so many people were following them proved to them that they believed. It's out of order. It's not set in order. Crouch claims that they must believe because they have so much fruit. They have 50,000,000,000 people conversion reports. That's not what the scriptures are about. They're about not a conversion. They're about discipling. Anyway, we're not even where I'm supposed to be, and I'm already on a rant.
I like the thing J.W. used to say, where you would tell us he would say this. But, you know, it's like, if you want crowds, Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
Exhibit A.
Yeah. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And again, sound doctrine is healthy. Hygienia. Hygienio, not hygienia. Sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Now what it says, that's a bad translation. They shall heap to themselves teachers to satisfy their itching ears. You understand what that means? To satisfy their own spiritual lusts. They want to hear a new thing. There's no new thing. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. All right, let's go to another one. For Titus. Next.
Did you explain what in season and out of season?
Yeah, no matter how you feel, whether you're sick or healthy.
I was thinking of spiritual season and
out of season. No, don't use spiritual season. That's Mr. Chisholm has been using that. The season for my rebellion. There's no season for your rebellion. That justifies it. The season for my this, or the season for that. That's that term is what it's become. It's been used to justify a new thing. And so, now, according to such as the scripture, now it's the season for your prosperity. Just crap.
I was thinking Passover, tabernacle.
All right, Titus chapter 1. Verse 6. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children. Verse 6. Did I say that? If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, and not accused of riot or unruly. For a bishop must be blameless, as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able to by sound doctrine, to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Now, there's two places where this is used here. No, that's never mind. That isn't. But do you understand what a bishop is? Have we ever talked about that?
Yeah, bishop is the person that's head of several seders, right?
One or more. Yeah, one. Or, well, it has to be more than one seder. All right.
And this is kind of strange to me to convince the gainsayers.
Convict.
Oh, convict. Okay. That's
those the
oppose
the son. Yeah, convince is every time you see convince in the New Testament, it's convict.
Okay.
Convince, that's just the change of an English word's meaning. All right, go to chapter 2. Well, we have to go to, we have to start in 2 verse 11. Wait a minute, I screwed up. No, it's just, let's start, I'm getting old. Chapter 1, verse 15. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and their conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, not being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, etc., etc. And there's one more place. Let's go back to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Oh, excuse me, 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God in his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. And if any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even to the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strives of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, and evil perversings. Perverse disputings of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. Now again, this word here in verse 3, it uses wholesome in the same hygienio, but it, in the sentence, it's both to words and to sound doctrine. Or to words and to doctrine, which is by definition sound. All right? Let's go back one more word real quick.
Back to Luke.
Chapter 10. Chapter 7, verse 10. And they that were sent returning to the house found the servant whole that had been sick. And remember, Luke is a doctor, so when he uses these words, it's interesting. It's sick is not just the normal word for sick. This is asthenio, which means weak or impotent or diseased. Well, it can mean sick too, but anyhow, that's enough for today. The most important part of this is to remember that what it means to be set under authority. And the only way that can happen is, by definition, that's humility. So we use words, abandonment and forgiveness and, you know, humility and all these things, but it all comes back to the same place, the cross and the total emptying, abandoning of self, repentance. So they're all the same. Boom. so that you're the vessel, the broken vessel, for the pearl of great price. That's it. You have no cares, you have no need. Well, you might have a care because Pete burned the oatmeal pan this morning.
No.
I can't believe how you burned the pan.
I can't believe how I burned it either. How somebody else did that.
No, what happened? I mean, what, did you just put the water in and then forget to put the oatmeal in?
Yeah.
Oh.
And the water all boiled out?
The water boiled out and we had a very hot pan.
Yeah, burning smell.
Oh, yeah. Anyhow. Let's not make a man an offender for a word or burned oatmeal or a pot. Take it, big guy.
That was a very bad abandonment.
Abandon the